Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, yep, Simon Miller here from What Culture, and if you're wondering what I'm doing, I'm trying to stay as still as possible because I worry if I move too much, more wrestling news will break. I'm going to level with you. I don't think I can handle it. And that's all I'm saying about it, because it's too much, and there's enough content out there that if you want to get into it, but isn't it just astounding how no major wrestling news breaks ever? Oh my gosh, it's exhausting. But let's throw all that to one side for now and focus on the actual wrestling instead, because AEW just had a Dynamite show as they build up to the Forbidden Door. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I've gone through it. But was it any good? Or did it suck balls? Damn it, let's up those doubts. So you can take the wrestling out of wrestling, but you can't take the wrestling out of wrestling. I don't know what I just said. Because the point is, we kicked off Dynamite with a hair versus hair match, and obviously there was a barber's chair at ringside and a barber, because how can you possibly cut somebody's locks if you don't have the official person to do it? And as you can imagine, I was so invested in this because one of either Chris Jericho or Ortiz was going to join the Bald Brotherhood, and the other one was going to stay a full head. William Regal was also on commentary and had me in hysterics because he kept calling Chris Jericho a tosspot. Now, while the origin of that saying was back in ye oldie times when somebody would toss back too many pots of ale, it doesn't mean that in 2022. It means wanker. I can't believe I said it. You can tell they both wanted to keep their hair, especially Ortiz, because he went nuts at the start of this. Although in the early going, it was all about body parts. We've already talked about this thing that sits on top of your skull. But do you know how Chris Jericho got back into it? He grabbed Ortiz's eyes and he raped them. I thought about this for a little bit. If you did that in real life, you'd probably make somebody go blind, so Chris Jericho crazy. He also suplexed his former Inner Circle friend to the outside from the apron, but man, Ortiz was coming back into this. He hit a cutter, and he hit this, like, corkscrew splash thingamajig, but Jericho wanted none of that, so then he hit the Codebreaker. That was a really good nearfall. There was this really cool transition into the Walls of Jericho, but Ortiz was able to get to the ropes. This is when Cool Hand Ange, who was at ringside, started to get worried, so he was interfering, but given that Eddie Kingston was out there too, he was like, nah, this is not gonna happen. There was then this wild brawl as Santana and Wheeler Yuta also got involved, but this is when Eddie snuck into the ring. He hit Jericho with the back fist, and I tell you, Ortiz was all of a sudden back. The referee went one, and the referee went two, and I genuinely thought we were this close to Chris Jericho shaving his head. There's also a twist at the end, though, because we had somewhat of a reunion. Because it had all gone nuts, nobody knew who was there, here, and everywhere. When Fuego del Sol ran into the ring, grabbed Floyd the baseball bat, twonked Ortiz right on the head, Chris Jericho then turned around, he made the cover, and the referee hadn't seen any of this. He counted to the three, and that was that. And you were like, Fuego del Sol, why did you do this? Even though you would have to have been a moron not to realise it was quite clearly Sammy Guevara. After all this as well, he did unmask and went, ta-da, it's me. So this was kind of cool, because I suppose that Chris Jericho and him are back together. And then, of course, it was time to shave Ortiz's head. But I really like what we did here, because he told the hairdresser, you back off, pal. I don't need this. He took the clippers. He did it himself while shouting, blood and guts, blood and guts. So I think this feud is really good, or at least I'm invested. And Ortiz, welcome. Come and join the group. It's a pleasure to have you. this is getting it up. And then we had a 20-on-1 handicap match. And I was like, man, Dynamite go in sports entertainment. And I can't help but like this nonsense because goofy wrestling is the best. So we did have these 20 security guards with Mark Sterling. And the only real shame is that we learned early on an elimination would count if Wardlow chucked somebody over the top rope. And I didn't want that. I wanted to be move pin, 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 move pin. I think I got that right, but I don't know. I mean, you can see why this didn't happen, because even saying that took forever, but Wardlow was still great here. He was powerbombing fools, he was pinning fools, he was throwing people over the top rope, he was submitting in. He was then grabbing some of these individuals and just hurling them into somebody else. If you had never seen him before, and you were just flicking through the TV shows, you'd be like, man, this guy pretty good. One final idiot also dropped off the top rope, and he got powerbombed in midair. And this was honestly like the greatest James Bond villain scene you've ever seen in your life. Obviously, after he had killed all 20, he was going to do the same to Mark Sterling. But then from the rafters, Scorpio Sky and Dan Lambert were here. And they were like, Wardlow, we think you're an idiot and we're not going to send you presents anymore. And also, look who's at ringside, because two people are about to beat you up. And amazingly, this was Matt Hughes and Tyrone Woodley, they of UFC fighter fame. And then this went absolutely crazy as well, because Wardlow went, actually, no. They're my friends. They would never do that. He was right. They grabbed Sterling. They chucked him into Wardlow. He gave him the powerbomb. I tell you, this was just a feel-good segment. So this is definitely all done now. Let's move right into the TNT title stuff now. And this just took all my favorite things and merged them together. This is especially true because Wardlow has this excellent new theme tune, courtesy of Colin Young. I want to shout him out because he was very kind and very helpful to me over the last few months when he didn't need to do so. So make sure you check out all of his other stuff as well. And if we take all of it and put it into a box and open it, we're giving it up. Will Ospreay versus Dax Harwood was next. This was just unreal. Before we do get there, though, if you saw Ups and Downs on Monday, you may remember this guy. Let's bring him in. Yep, there he is, my octopus friend. And you won't believe it, but he was so popular. Honestly, he got more messages than anyone. I sat down and decided to myself, well, he deserves his own segment. So today, and for the foreseeable future, I am happy to announce the Pessipus. Get it? Because look, there, he's the Optipus, but you turn him inside out, and he becomes the Pessipus. And we are going to focus on the latter, because what's going to happen is we are going to approach a very sensitive wrestling subject, and the Pessipus is going to give you the other side of that debate. So, let's do it. Right, hello, Pessipus. Please tell me what you think about Will Ospreay appearing in AEW.
I can't believe Will Ospreay just randomly had his first match on Rampage, and he lost. What the flub is going on? How can you bring in Will Ospreay? Had him lose, and I know he didn't really lose because the six-man tag didn't get pinned, but if it went online, it says loss. It's unreal, and AEW should be ashamed of themselves.
All right, geez, isn't it just awesome that this can happen? Like, other wrestlers turning up in other promotions.
Shut up, you don't know me, you big mother...
Angry. Angry, angry octopus. Anyway, back in the real world, you have to go and watch this because Will Ospreay is undoubtedly one of the best wrestlers in the world. And Dax Harwood has just taken 2022 and hammered a sign on the wall that said, don't forget about me. Like, we all knew that he was good. But I think he should be in the conversation that he is one of the greats. Because go through all of his matches of this year. Has he had a bad one? No, he has not. The crowd was super into it too. And this is one of those ones where I don't know what I'm meant to do. Like, Ospreay was hitting hurricanranas as if it was as easy as eating an apple. When Dax started laying in these chops and strikes, it was like he had turned his arm into a hammer and he wanted death. There was also this moment when the FTR man got drop-kicked into Simba the Steel Steps, and that looked like it was horrible. But he then hit a bunch of German suplexes on Will, and the last one that he did sent Ospreay so high, I was like, man, great, we're gonna have to move to the moon. Ospreay then did a 450 off the top like it was drawing a stick, man. There was this awesome bit as well when they were tussling on the top and he somehow was able to turn it into this cross body. And even when they were trading the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up, I tell you, it had me, I was plugged in. There was also a super near fall after the Oz Cutter, but then Will Ospreay was done with this. He hit the Hidden Blade. 1, 2, 3, but there was no losers here, because this was so, so good. Fine 10 minutes and watch it. There was then madness after this too, because the United Empire were here, along with Cash Wheeler and Roppongi Vice, and they all started fighting. And then we had another surprise, because who returned to Dynamite after 4 months after he suffered an injury? None other than Orange Cassidy. My favorite part of all of this is that he did stare off with Will Ospreay. And it was announced later on that at Forbidden Door, it should be called the Forbidden Door, it's open all the damn time, it will be Orange Cassidy versus Will Ospreay. And I tell you, if I hadn't done the Pessimus segment already, I'd definitely do it now. Just think of what the crazies are doing. I liked all of this. It's getting it up. Quick shout out to Carl from social media as well, who came up with the name Pessimus. You slashed it. And then talking about this forbidden door again, it's just stuck, right? It's permanently open. So I am just going to call it the door. Because out came Jon Moxley. Out came Tanahashi. They did a face-to-face that we had been waiting to see for ages. And I know it made me feel all warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum. Because that, man, this is just so utterly ridiculous. I mean, it's even more nuts because, of course, this is meant to be CM Punk versus Tanahashi. But Jon Moxley and Tanahashi also have all this history together. And Mox did his usual thing. He was like, I respect you, Tana. You the ace. You're one of the best wrestlers in the world. But after the pay-per-view, you're going to be nothing. And people are going to call me the ace. I was like, damn it, John. But then you've got the strangest interruption that we've seen in a while, though. Because even though they'd already been on the show, out came Chris Jericho, out came Sammy Guevara, and out came Ty Conti. So that is 58 in AEW and 148 interruptions overall. And Jericho was all like, this should be my spot, Jon Moxley. You know that. And if you don't leave the ring, I'm a wizard and I'll burn your face. And I was like, well, that is a perfectly normal and reasonable thing to say. His justification was that he'd already beaten Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom. But then Tanahashi just turned around and went, shut up, Jericho, and enjoyed that. And this is when things went crazy again, because a bunch of people ran down, not only the Jericho Appreciation Society, but members of Suzuki-Goon. I was like, what the fuck is happening? We then threw in that Sam and Ty have also joined the JAS. So I was like, man, and I'm pretty sure El Desperado was out there too. But what this was all building towards was yet another announcement for Forbidden Door. And you ain't gonna believe this. So given that Suzuki had helped out Jericho, those two are gonna come together to team up with Sammy Guevara. And they'll be versing Eddie Kingston, Wheeler Yuta, and Shota Umino. So this was one for the nerds, and I'm a massive nerd, so I was certainly excited about it. Although I do admit it was a little bit messy, because I wouldn't have set this up when you had Jon Moxley and Tanahashi going at it. I think they can exist in their own bubble. But again, we're a positive Pete show. Did it matter? Not really.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
We then learn that Darby Allin will be taking on a creature from the sea come Rampage because he wants to take on Bobby Fish to get revenge after Red Dragon attacked and beat up and took out Sting when we were having an interview with Tony Storm, who said, Rip Baker, you very smart because you became a dentist, whereas I dropped out of school because I wanted to be a wrestler, so now I'm going to beat you and become the champ. I don't really see how all those things come together. We then took more steps towards the Forbidden Door because it was time to do a first, second, third, whatever the hell it is round in the All Atlantic Championship Tournament. And look, I totally get you. This is like one too many titles for AEW, but I have this sneaky feeling that it's going to be defended in All Elite Wrestling, it's going to be defended in Ring of Honor, it's going to be defended in Impact, it's going to be defended in New Japan. And if that's the case, it just goes ping, 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 ping. I don't think it's going to make much difference at all. It was also Miro versus Ethan Page, and honestly, this was like having to choose between two of my own children or being told, Simon, you can only have ice cream or pizza for the rest of your life. Because both these guys are awesome, and after this, they need to get proper pushes at both of them. My heart just beats for them. Page had a plan too, because he knows Miro is bonkers. Work the arm, because as we have learned in the past, and as I'm sure we will relearn in the future, if you take out somebody's limb, it's going to be harder for them to punch you in the face. Miro seemed to know this though, so he grabbed Ethan and chucked him right into Rita the ring post. And at this stage, I realised, when you do that, you're essentially trying to kill someone because you're taking a skull and you're smashing it into some steel. Basil tried to balance this out by throwing Miro into Simba the Steel Step, so I'm like, man, death is on the cards here, and hit a cutter back in the ring for a near fall. I did have this one geek moment where I was like, man, the car is kind of becoming like the super kick a few years ago, in the sense everybody does it. But do I react every time? Yes, I do. It wound Miro up even more and he just started to murk this guy, which is when Dan Lambert got up the apron. Miro punched him right in the face. He then kicked Paige in his tush as well. He locked in the game over. He had to tap out. And now he is going to fight for that new title. Really good match though, and let's definitely do something with Ethan Page soon. Thank you, please. Dante Martin and Matt Sydal were then cutting a promo backstage where Dante told us, one, he's going to be taking on Jon Moxley on Rampage, but also, two, he is sick and tired of everybody saying all the time, well, he's got loads of potential, but when he's going to realise it. So Matt Sydal said, I agree with you, Dante, which is why from now on, we're going to call you Inhuman. And I started to laugh. I guess it sounds cool, but the definition of that is not human in character or nature. Who's going to come out like a monster? I'm Dante Martin. I totally understand what they're saying here. It's because he can do moves that no humans can. But again, I'm a massive idiot, and this is what I do. But eventually, Dante Martin does need to get his big, oh my gosh, win. I mean, it's not going to be against Jon Moxley. But I hope it's soon. And you then all got what you wanted. Ooh, Dalali, happy days. Tony Storm defeated Britt Baker. This was so neat that I bet people don't even care about the match, but if you did watch, I mean, it did tick all the boxes, but I thought it was also pretty good. Because in the early going, Rebel was going distraction, distraction, and that allowed Jamie Hayter to get involved. But don't forget the Thunder Rosa also has a position in this, so she walked down, she said to Jamie Hayter, you better stop doing that, and she chased her off. Baker still used this to kick some ass, although when Tony was back into it, she must have hit around about 372 DDTs because she loves doing that. But then Britt was going for the lockjaw, she even tried to get the glove. That didn't work. She got German suplexed. And apparently I'm a horse. Tony then wrecked her in the corner, and this is when we have to take our hands and just start to clap. Because Britt Baker sold this like she genuinely had gone all wibbly wobbly. And I totally bought it. I was like, oh no, something has gone awry. But it wasn't, it was a ruse. And then she tried to get the surprise win. And while this didn't work, if she had got away with it, I would have been totally fine with it, because it was just done so well. She also used that to try and go for the lockjaw again, but not this time, because she got hit with the Storm Zero instead. 1, 2, 3. So now we are jazzing things up here, especially because afterwards Thunder Rosa came back out and she held the title. So who was a fool and jumped the gun last week by saying, oh, don't we understand what's going on here? That's right, it was me. Now it makes all the sense in the world, and Tony Storm versus Thunder Rosa will be a terrific match. Quick interview with Stokely Hathaway, who said that Jade Cargill wants to do a TBS Open Challenge, which is when Willow Nightingale answered the call. So that should be interesting. Maybe we're going to give her a big push. When out came Hangman Adam Page, I was interested. Because, of course, last week he had called out Okada as well as the IWGP champion. But at Dominion over the weekend, Okada lost that title. And now the brand new champ is none other than Jay White. He said the challenge was still out there, so he basically wants to fight all of New Japan, which is when Adam Cole interrupted. And that's 59 in AEW, 149 overall. And congratulated his friend on becoming the champion. But surely this means when we get to the pay-per-view, we should do Bullet Club versus the Undisputed Elite, because both these groups control wrestling. He then invited White to the ring, but these two, man, it was a giant ruse. Because Hangman was all like, I'm ready for you, Jay White. But he teleported in behind him, and he started to kick his ass. He then got on the microphone and said, I'm the catalyst for Jay. I am the catalyst for wrestling. Then he looked at the cowboy and went, nope, you don't get a title shot. But then better still, he looked at Adam Cole and he said, you know what, you ain't gonna get one either. This is why Jay White is a great character, because he totally gets it and he never wavers. He also had a good line where he turned to Paige and said, look man, you couldn't even beat CM Punk at our singles record. I've beaten you twice. And I don't really get what's going to happen here, because Adam Cole also said that Okada wasn't going to be at the pay-per-view. Now, I can't believe this, so I suppose you could do the triple threat match, Jay White versus Adam Cole versus Adam Page, or you could do the four-way by adding Okada in there, or you may even be able to do a tag team match. But I have absolutely no idea, but I really enjoy seeing Jay White on AEW television. I just think he has something about him.
up.
And okay, right, that's it. Sit down, because you're not going to like what I'm going to say, because people go crazy about this stuff. But we got to our main event of Dynamite this week, and I truly think that the Young Bucks are one of the best tag teams ever. And at the very least, they are in the conversation, because they're always entertaining, they're always so damn good, and they just don't have bad matches. And also, in many ways, they basically revolutionized the wrestling industry. This also meant that it was Matt and Nick Jackson taking on the Lucha Express for the AEW tag team titles in a ladder match. And of course, the Hardy Boys weren't in it. And all I'm going to say is this. I hope Jeff Hardy gets all the help that he needs, because addiction is a terrible thing and it's multiple layered. I don't want to say more than that, because this involves somebody's personal life. So let's take it and move on. Keep everything crossed. Otherwise, though, this was absolutely superb, with madness being the name of the game. Because Luchasaurus got thrown into Barry Barricade and his species got hard done by again. Then Jungle Boy was doing this dive. Then I think he hurricane-rided Matt Jackson through a table before he got grabbed and chucked through a table himself. The dinosaur then got hit by a 450 put onto another Slater's wood as Nick Jackson hit a 450 through that one. And I was like, what the flum is going on? We're only 8 seconds in. Matt Jackson was soon chokeslammed into a ladder, and then everybody was being thrown into the steel. When Luchasaurus went ta-da and he did a moonsault off the apron. And I think at this stage everybody went, oh wait, it's a ladder match and we haven't climbed them enough. So all four started to go up. Luchasaurus must have regretted this, because he was powerbombed into a ladder bridge and that looked absolutely brutal. And then because 8 seconds had gone by without somebody going through a table, the dinosaur was back on one and Matt Jackson gave him a diving elbow through it. I was just laughing. I was like, man, these dudes have just gone out there to entertain, and I can feel it in my bones. There was then one more huge crumple as the Young Bucks and Jungly Jim went careening to the floor, and you knew there was going to be one last crazy bump, because the Jacksons had set up all these tables on the outside. So given that there was a ladder and a title, Luchasaurus went, well, I'm going to do this. And he climbed, and he climbed, and he climbed. Matt and Nick then caught it. They pushed him off, and he went flying through all these tables. And he's a very big man. Excuse me, he's a very big dinosaur. The noise this made... just wild. This honestly looked like a car wreck, and Jungle Boy was destroyed at this point, so he got hit by the BTE trigger. This is when Matt and Nick went to the top and they grabbed the championships. And I know I've flown through this. You have to go and watch it. It is so much better than I have given it credit for. It was just a random ladder match on Dynamite, and yet it was so, so good. Amazingly, we weren't done, though, because after months and months of teasing and me getting it wrong all of the time, and I suppose given the fact that Luchasaurus was dead and Christian realized this is my moment, he was all like, oh, Jungle Boy, I can't believe you've lost again. But just as he was about to leave the ring, he grabbed him, he gave him the kill switch, and if you can believe it, even concertoed the poor boy. So that's it, he's dead. Christian has gone heel, and I can't lie, I love this, because Cage as a bad guy is money. We could also do that feud, which will be good all around, and I tell you, when you take the match and you take the shock ending, even though we all saw it coming, it doesn't just get an up, it gets a golden up. Truly, truly wonderful time. And yeah, let's not forget the Young Bucks are the tag team champions again. The hell is going on? Which brings us to the end of another episode of AEW Dynamite. And I love this one. I don't know. Maybe I was just pumped for wrestling. And also, you know, we've got to fight back against the precipice. Give it up.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.